Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.
Okay, that makes more sense now. Boy, the first time I fired that up, it was loud.
It was very loud.
Okay, as you might guess, if you haven't heard us before, you lucky devil. I am Frank, Fishing Frank. That's Robert. And this is the Area Fishing Report.
Good times.
Yes, good times, great times. What the? Okay, okay. All right, let's see, still some red tide. I'll be going over that on the red tide stuff here as we get down to it. I know there's going to be stuff that we have to go over with that. I've got the status reports and all that, but that will all be coming up as we get to it. Let's see, as far as we know it, if you get anywhere near the beach, the Coosatchie River, Lake Okeechobee, Florida in general, you're going to die.
Yeah. That's the way the news makes it out to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything's bad, everything's horrible, and it's just surprising. Had a wonderful lady I was just talking to at the counter, really, really nice, but I'd only moved here a little while ago. And she said, everybody's telling me not to go to the beach. I said, wrong. No. We have some beaches that have some red tide on them right now. You got to go. You have not experienced it. Life is good. Life is bad. Life is kind of boring in the middle. You know, but, and I'm a big fan of same old, same old.
Yeah, boring in the middle is not too bad of a thing.
Yeah, it's really not bad. Because that excitement could come in really good excitement, and it can come in really bad, exciting, frustrating. You know, there's sometimes, you know, same old is pretty wonderful. But I told her, go to the beach. Go down there. Wear good shoes. Now, this is really critical need-to-know information. They have molted from giant worms to little birds, and this is critical need-to-know information. You've never seen Tremors 2, have you?
Nope.
All right. Awesome movie. Really, Tremors is slapstick goofy, but
yeah,
my kind of movie.
Yeah, I've seen the first one.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces of the second one.
So, anyway. Awesome movies, but critical need to know information, because fish, when they die, get washed up on the beach. As they decay, the skeletons are left. You could have bones, fins, all these other things sticking up through the sand for a while. After a few weeks go by, the sand literally makes them round and just disintegrating them. The movement of the waves, the sand going in between, literally sands them into where they're not going to hurt you.
Right.
But for the first days or a couple weeks after red tide, you got to walk with good shoes on the beach.
Yes.
Walk slowly, don't run.
Yeah, definitely.
So you stroll, meander your way out to the beach. You do not go swimming. Not because there's always a chance of ingesting water when you're swimming. You get a mouthful of water, spit it out. And if you're in a concentration of red tide, you can ingest that. And ingesting it directly into your stomach, not a great thing. And you're also breathing within a few inches of the water. Not a good thing either. So basically, you meander down to the beach with a good pair of shoes on and just breathe. And then all of a sudden, your throat starts getting a little weird. And you're like... And then you start coughing a little bit, and then you've experienced the red tide.
Sometimes you didn't even make it to the beach.
But
you just literally get out of the car in the parking lot.
But that's one of the cool things.
Oh, absolutely. But
I mean, yes, it's bad and it's horrible and it's all that, but it is something to experience.
Sure. And the best part about it is if you have that, you just get back in the car and drive down a mile to the next section of beach, because... it may or may not be there.
Right. But literally, once you drive away, you're fine.
Yeah.
And
within a few minutes, you're golden.
She literally thought that she would like die if she went to the beach. And I said, you do remember people live on the beach.
Yeah.
Well, it can be unpleasant, you know, unless you're ingesting a lot of it, eating oysters or clams that are from a red tide area. Even shrimp and other things can, you know, build up red tide in them. Mm-hmm. But unless you're doing stuff like that, just walking to the beach, very few people, unless they're already very sick.
Yeah, severe asthmatic, severe COPD. You know, somebody that's already got extreme... And
if somebody already has a letter thing going on.
Yeah, if you're an extreme breathing condition already, it's just a struggle to walk to the beach anyway.
Right.
So that's where the problem is.
But if you're just normal, reasonably healthy person, you walk out to the beach, it's something cool to experience. Mm-hmm. And you need to know what the bad things and the good things are in life. It's like when I go out fishing. Sometimes I have a great day fishing. Sometimes I don't catch anything. Sometimes the boat breaks. Sometimes I'm towed in. I run out of gas. You know, I have malfunctions. You know, the line breaks. The rod goes. I lose the fish. You know, sometimes there are awesome days and everything works perfectly. I'm catching tons of amazing fish and having this great, awesome time. But it's kind of neat to experience all of it.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was doing the charters, I do remember taking people out and... At that point, I had it kind of dialed in pretty good. And they were catching snook after snook after snook after snook and just have... And I mean, these were 30 to 40-inch snook. And there was just one after the other. And after about an hour and a half, is there anything else we can do?
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay. So you kind of learn when you're taking people out. Even if you know how to make the best fishing in the world... You wait that for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Let them go through a little bit of bad stuff and a little bit of iffy stuff, and you know, make one part of that trip really spectacular, and then you're a hero. But anything you do just easily one after the other gets boring.
Yep.
So go to the beach, experience red tide, and you know, okay, you're gonna cough and you're gonna feel a little sick or whatever. Maybe you'll just cough a little bit, but it's cool. So that being said. All right, up the Peace River. Absolutely no red tide on the Peace River. Physically impossible. Never going to happen. Get over it.
Okay. Right, exactly. Honestly, the only thing I've heard about has been some tarpon by the power lines going up past the Navigator, but very few. Guys have just been seeing a few. And a lot of people have been fishing on the river the last several days because of how windy it's been, but most of them been just sightseeing, checking it out.
That's one thing you and I got to do. Let's get the women together, and let's run up to the Navigator and have lunch.
Oh, yeah. Go check it out.
Well, they got the new owners up there, and he's such a nice guy. He's an awesome guy, and his wife is as nice as she can be, and we need to go out and find out what it's like up there.
Okay.
I haven't been up there in a few years.
No.
I just got out of the habit of it, you know.
Gosh, honestly, it's probably been about 10 or better for me.
Oh, yeah, because the last time I was up there was 2 hours, and they said, oh, we ran out of food. We can't serve you. And yeah, I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And because that was the second and third time. I don't judge a restaurant by one bad experience.
No.
Because, you know, anybody can have a bad day, a bad cook. You come in here and talk to one of the guys, he might be having a real bad day and, you know, just say the wrong thing and upset somebody. We have that happen every once in a while. We try and make up for it, but anybody can have a bad day.
Yeah.
So I never judge a restaurant by one bad experience. But, boy, you get me into two or three, you know.
No, definitely by the third one, I'm done.
Yeah. So, anyway, so, yeah, we got to run up there. It's a nice run. Just remember, when you're running the manatee sign, when you're running up the river and you see a manatee sign, that's on the bad side of the river. You want to be to the, if it's on the left side of the river, you want to be on the right. If it's on the right side of the river, you want to be on the left. That's the easiest way to do it.
Right.
And there's only a couple of shallow spots. And at this time of year, there's nothing shallower than 3.5 feet.
Right.
So you can pretty much run most boats up through that. All right. I-75, Darst.
Some small black drum and a few big black drum. And then they also have been seeing a few juvenile tarpon rolling around the bridge in the early morning, but nobody's catching them. Other than that, I haven't heard of much else. A guy went up there whiting fishing, and I haven't heard back from him. He was going up, I don't know, I guess Monday, and got no report from him, so he must not have done great.
Yeah.
He's one of those old-timers that comes in here all the time. He's a pretty good regular, so he usually either calls or comes back in and tells us.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. I miss the old guys in all the little aluminum boats. And there was one group, there was three guys in the boat, and man, they were old back then.
Yeah.
And the one guy always had a 4-aught pen shark rod and reel, and they were fishing for whiting, this little tiny hook, but that was his saltwater rod. Yep. You know what I mean? It was hilarious. Yes. They were nice guys, but man, I drove by them and looked at them. What is that? They literally could have been shark fishing. They're catching whiting one after the other, just having a ball.
That's like, funny.
Oh, okay. So anyway, this takes us up the 41 Bridge.
The 41 Bridge, there's been a lot of...
For those of you who don't know, a whiting average size you catch is 1 to 2 pounds.
Yeah, closer to one.
I would say one is... If you get up to two, you've got a really big one.
Yeah.
But, you know... Picture
some people call them Gulf Kingfish.
Yeah, Southern Gulf Kingfish. And but they're not a big fish. They're very good eating and they're a lot of fun, but picture yellow perch up north a little bigger than that.
Yeah.
And then picture using a shark rod to catch yellow perch. Yeah. That should give you an idea of why I'm looking at it. It is really hard. You're laughing so hard. You're trying to be polite. And you go by, you just kind of wave, and then you get a little bit further along. You hope they don't see you because you're literally rolling in the boat.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, 41 Bridge, Power Pole Park.
A lot of small snook. There's been a few juvenile tarpon and even an occasional adult tarpon rolling around there, but nobody catching any. A couple of trout being caught right by the power lines, and quite a few mixed of small to undersized to say 11 inch mangrove snapper. They're catching mostly around the power lines and just using pieces of shrimp or pieces of cut mullet. Quite a few guys have been using a little piece of cut mullet because, you know, shrimp have been either small or can't get frozen. So they're kind of learning how to experiment and proving that it works pretty good down there. Supposedly, somebody told me the day before yesterday, I guess it was, that that walkway is either done or almost done.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I need to go down there and check it out and see if it's open yet. But somebody was telling me the other day that it's really darn close.
And what's funny is... I think, you know, I don't know what's wrong with people today, but most of them would complain if you hung them with a new rope. You know what I mean? They're just never going to be satisfied. They're looking at it going, well, why are they going to put that there? That's just going to get wrecked. You're like, but you go down there and fish and you want, you know, to go fishing and, you know, they're putting up a pier so that you can actually have a walkway and pier fishing and more benefit. And all you can do is complain because you don't think it's going to work?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to people?
A lot of different things.
Yeah.
A whole lot of different things.
It's like I went to Alabama. I mean, I have such great memories of Alabama, being there at the oil spill. And just this awesome place. And the people were amazing. And just everything about, you know, even though I was there working the oil spill... Everything was amazing, and I really wanted to take Terry there, drive some of the back roads, and go to some of these places and all this stuff. Then you get there and find out if you smoke on a street, you get a $200 fine. You have to be in your car, in your house, and then, I mean, all of the laws they changed and all the stuff they did. I said, what did they get? California move there?
Yeah.
What'd they do? Just decide, you know, yeah, California's pretty screwed up. Now, mind you, there's some... I would say 3/4 of California has some of the most amazing, awesome people in the world. But they get those little pockets in the city where these folks are just nuts. They just really, they could start over there, you know. Yeah. And I think they've screwed up their own state so much, they're moving to other ones and just doing it there. Like, well, yeah, this is paradise. I moved here because it's wonderful, but I miss how screwed up it was back home. So let's make it here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier. Honestly, I haven't had a single report this week on it.
Okay. And what's funny, though, even though it's right at, almost next to the 41 bridge, the fishing is quite often very different just that 200 yards away.
Yeah.
It's sometimes very surprising. That's why we do put Lashley Pier and Bayshore Pier. They're very close to 41. I mean, you can, if you had a good, you know, if you had a good Major League Baseball pitcher, he could probably throw a rock and hit the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, it's further than I can throw, but it's literally right there.
Yeah.
And, but it's amazing how you'll, sometimes you'll have fish by the bridge and not at the pier. Sometimes the pier's where the fish are and there's none by the bridge, or sometimes there's fish at both, sometimes there's no fish at either. But they're so close yet so different.
Yeah, right. The topography is completely different from one spot to the other. I mean, it's, like you said, not much of a distance, but a whole lot of different variations.
And speaking of variations on a theme, Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier, just the one pier is open. They've been getting a few catfish, a couple of small sharks this week. I haven't heard of anything else other than that. And they were small bull sharks. One guy thought it was a black tip, but his buddy was telling him it was a baby bull, so he cut it loose, then brought the picture in, and I said, yeah, he was right. You were better off letting it go rather than getting a ticket.
Yeah, the bull shark has to be 54 inches to keep, and for some reason or another, I think people think they go from birth to 8 foot long.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as, okay, this is, you know, well, it's small. It's not big enough to be a bull shark.
Right.
Do they come out and they're born and then they jump to 8 foot long?
Same with Jewfish. Everyone, well, don't they just call that because it gets big? Or because it's big? I'm like, no, that's, Goliath grouper is a Goliath grouper. It's a totally different species. Because they think red grouper or gag grouper grows up to be a Goliath grouper. Like, no, different
I
animal.
I haven't really heard that one, but that, it would make sense. I can almost understand people thinking that. I mean, it's very wrong, but it's, I can almost understand that, because every time we talk about Goliath grouper or whatever, big, you know, huge,
yeah,
fish.
Yeah.
That's why Jewfish was a much easier reference to him, because it wasn't so size oriented.
Right.
And so anyway, where was I? Okay, the Port Charlotte Canal System, Port Charlotte Beach.
A lot of small snook. Been a handful of redfish being caught in there. A ton of mangrove snapper, mostly small. And then the sand bream also have been doing pretty good in almost almost every canal. But funny part is the sand bream are a semi-schooling fish. And a person will catch one. But the little mangrove snapper that are, you know, 4 inches and 5 inches long are a lot faster and more aggressive. So you have a hard time catching multiples of them. But people have been getting a lot of nice sand bream. There's been a handful of jacks and some juvenile tarpon around too.
Now, what I always find better for the sand bream is using a bobber.
Yep.
Because, like you say, it's, if you're trying to bottom fish them, the snappers and stuff are so much more aggressive. But I can put them under a float a few inches off the bottom, and I get more snap or more sand bream and less snapper.
Yep.
And I don't know why that is. Because the snappers readily come up. I've had them hit top waters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they're afraid.
For some reason or another, the sand bream have a better shot at it if it's under a float rather than if it's laying on the bottom.
Yep. No, I agree with that.
And it shouldn't be that way. I don't think it should make a difference, to be quite honest, but it seems to. Another one of those I wonder why's. All right, the Elgin Bean Pier.
Basically, mangrove snapper, some black drum, a lot of juvenile tarpon rolling right around the actual bridge itself. And then there's been a handful of snook at night down there, but it's not gangbusters by any stretch. No, it's not too bad, and there's a lot of water humping through there. It's been some pretty good activity that way.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, with all the rain they've been getting more rain up towards that area along the coast than we have, so I can see that Myakka would really be pumping it out right about now.
Yeah.
Alright, speaking of Myakka and the river.
Oh, let's see, there's been some tarpon mixed in there from the Elder Beam Bridge all the way down to the mouth. There's also been some redfish moving along Hog Island, both on the outside and on the inside in the cutoff area. And then there's still quite a few, mostly, I don't know, I would call them peanut snook, but there has been some pretty darn good sized snook cruising around inside the cutoff itself. And it doesn't seem to be the north end or the south end, it's just they're kind of hopscotched around through there because I'm getting too many different reports on it. A lot of people fished it this past week because of all the wind and did surprisingly well. There was some oversized redfish, quite a few slot sized redfish. You know, it's pretty impressive. They're catching them on crabs, cut ladyfish, cut mullet.
Like I say, I think one thing that impressed me when I was fishing in there with Carl was he fished spots that I normally fished, but not quite. It was just a little different than where I fished them. Maybe 50 feet or 100 feet away from my good spots.
Right.
That he was into a little different area and awesome fishing and different bait and a little bit different way of fishing that spot. I mean, just down a ways from historically where the fish always were.
Right. And the thing that surprised me with him is there's a couple spots where he stopped when he took my cousin and her kids out. And I'm like, thinking the same thing, because it's like I know up ahead there's a trough, you know, another 100 yards up, and I know behind us, you know, 50 yards is a little creek, but this area is really nondescript. It's just kind of a flat bottom, kind of washboardy, but mostly flat. Why are you stopping here? He's like, I catch fish here. I'm like, you know, and I wouldn't give it necessarily a second thought because I've fished at different times and during the winter when you can see the bottom and have an understanding of what the topography of it looks like. And it's like, it's just, it's never really seemed fishy to me. And some of these spots he stopped at, it's like, man.
It was exactly the same thing on a trip I went out, Carl, and we had the guys from Rapala on there. And literally, I'm looking, oh, he's going to go there because it used to be an awesome, awesome spot. Used to catch a lot of fish there. And he goes by it. I'm thinking, well, we're going to go down here. And he stops. And literally, as you said, I know that bottom. There is no reason for fish to be there.
Right.
I've walked that shoreline. And unless it changed over the last year or so, you know, last few years, or maybe the fish got too much pressure there and there and have just moved into the middle.
Yeah. It was strange, definitely.
Fish where you don't think they are. Fish where they ain't.
Absolutely.
And you're going to do better. And I don't know why that is.
No.
It's literally perplexing.
Yep. It's kind of neat.
All right, South Gulf Cove.
Crickets. I haven't even had my freshwater guys in lately.
All right. It's hot.
Yeah, it is.
It's hot out. West Wall.
A lot of redfish on it. From basically, well, even Trout Creek I've heard of a few redfish. But most of it seems to be from the halfway point to the south. And they are under the bushes, and there are fish out there on the actual bar flat itself. And then I'm also hearing of a few bonnet heads cruising around. And there was pompano there up until this blow, and I haven't heard much since then. But this is the time of year where they seem to move in and out with some regularity. So keep an eye out as you're running down. If you're running on the inside of the bar or just on top of it, keep an eye out behind you. Look for those pompano skipping, because this is definitely one of the better times of the year for them, even though they're usually associated as being cold weather. You know, it's not too bad. The tarpon moved away from there, as far as I know, from the wind. But there's also been some schools of ladyfish up and down that whole shoreline, too.
Alright. Just gotta correct a few spelling issues here and overtyping and stuff like that. Alright, now we're gonna move down to Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes has had ladyfish, a few Spanish mackerel, a few bonnet heads on it. And I've heard of a couple redfish and snook right there along the shoreline between basically Muddy Cove and Turtle Bay. But that was, that was Saturday was the last report I got from that area. So I'm not too sure. That wind was blowing pretty hard on there this past week. You know, basically since what, Friday or Saturday, it started really blowing hardcore on that. A couple guys were talking about some red tide down there Monday, but I don't know if it's still there. I'd highly doubt it after that wind laid back a couple days ago. I think it got bumped back out.
All right. You know, speaking of which, I'm looking at a certain water and plumbing here. It's a little thing on the fishing report I keep for Bill Certain. And I was talking to him, and he was saying, you know, if they would put up a series of small filtering stations along rivers like the Caloosahatchee or the Peace River, stuff like that, little places. Now, I think you could actually, like, even put them on a barge, you know, and have them working that way. You know, wouldn't have to have property on land. And just start filtering some of that water, a little bit here, a little bit further down, a little bit further down. And just make these small stations, not trying to get all of the water and all of the bad stuff out, but a percentage out at each place. Mm-hmm. And if you take a lot of the little percentages, now look at, you know, McDonald's. They sold burgers for $1 and made a lot of money. A little bit of money at a, you know, a whole bunch of a little bits, a real big thing.
Yeah.
If you try and do it all at once, you just end up failing. You know, your favorite saying, the one we use all the time, you eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Yep.
You don't go and try and eat, you know, walk up to a buffalo and, okay, here's, you got all this meat. You're not going to eat the whole thing in one bite. You're going to take a bite here and a bite there, and before you know it, you ran out of meat.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when you're trying to filter water. Don't try and get it all out in one stroke. I mean, that's something our government tries to do. You know, let's fix it all. Instead of just, okay, we're going to fix this and then work on this and do a little bit at a time and get it right. They always want to do in the big fix and screw it all up. Yeah. But Bill's idea, and he knows the filters, he's got everything. We could literally have wonderful water around here if the state would get, and the feds, you know, take their head from their, you know, I don't know how you can bend over that far to insert your head up there. God, it's got to be uncomfortable to walk around with your head in that position. But, you know, it's just funny. A little bit here, a little bit there, you could do a whole lot.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, just amazingly smart guy. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Red Tide.
Yep. Bull Bay definitely had some red tide in it. It may or may not be gone, like you were talking about earlier. Go in there and check it out.
Now, Turtle Bay has been okay.
Yeah, I don't think it made it in there at all, because a couple of guys have got some trout, handful of redfish, a lot of little peanut snook, and even seen a couple bigger snook. And they're catching them mostly on soft plastics and also just some cut bait. You know, cut mullet, cut sardines. Some blue crabs have been working exceptionally well too down there, so you know it's definitely worth taking the ride down there and checking it out.
It's kind of weird how, you know, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay are actually connected. If you go on the, you know, click the thing for Bull Bay or Turtle Bay, and I kind of show you pictures of the overall, but there's enough freshwater coming around Cape Hayes to get up into Turtle Bay. And the incoming tide is not getting quite enough of that water up there. It's enough to get it into Bull Bay, but just not quite enough to get it out of Turtle Bay.
Right.
So that fresh water's hanging out in Turtle Bay just enough to keep the red tide from going off in Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
And it's a freshwater thing. It's not, you know, okay, the red tide isn't strong enough to get there. It is, but there's just enough fresh water left in Turtle Bay to keep the red tide from being able to live. And it's what it kind of boils down to. Where is the fresh water pushing to? Where is the salt water able to penetrate into? On that incoming tide, you got just enough salt water to get into Bull Bay, but not quite enough to push all the way to Turtle. And that's why there's a difference. Red tide in Bull Bay, okay water in Turtle Bay. And it, you know, you've got, like with everything, you got to look at sometimes what's not the obvious. It's not that, okay, it's an eighth of a mile further away. It's what is it special about that versus, you know, what makes the difference? Fresh water's the answer.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all those mangroves drain out of Gulf Cove right through there.
Yeah, you know? There's, and just all the water coming around Cape Hayes and, you know, from the Peace River, the Myakka River, the rivers are flowing good enough now where there's just a little too much fresh water for that salt to get quite that far. A little while ago, the rivers had backed down and the red tide had come all the way over to Cape Hayes and had encompassed Turtle Bay to a degree. It wasn't horrific, but they did have red tide there. But now we have enough fresh water where it's pushing that red tide back out. The rains pick up and the river starts flowing a little higher, it will actually walk that red tide all the way into the intercoastal. It'll take it out of Bull Bay too.
Yeah. And it would be nice. It would just be like one of those stalled out thunderstorms that would just sit on top and drop that fresh water and beat it. Just pound it with that fresh water and really put a hurting on the red tide population.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef, both I just put red tide there.
Yep.
Gasparilla Sound, what are we looking at there?
Red tide, unfortunately. Okay. The last report I had was day before yesterday, and it was still ate up pretty bad.
All right. Placida Pier?
Same.
Okay.
Once you get north towards moving into Lemon, that's where it starts to get scattered, but it's still sporadic consistency in there.
All right. What do I say in Lemon Bay?
They are getting some redfish, a few trout, and a few snook, but there's still patches throughout there, so you have to move around a lot to find the untouched areas. Most of it is directly right up against the shoreline of the mainland side. The wind has been pushing it right up against there, so the island side of the ICW has had a little bit more fish and activity on it. So it's not too bad. But just get ready to move, unfortunately.
Where are we going?
Okay. I don't know.
South. I tried going in
3,000 miles.
And just for you people who drive pickup trucks, you know, the good news is we carry cooler stuff than cars. People in cars are not as cool as people in pickup trucks. So if you're in a pickup truck, you got way better stuff. You got guns, knives, all this other stuff.
Power tools.
Possibly a jug of moonshine or something like that, you know. Although that would be illegal. We wouldn't want to do that. But unfortunately, crooks have figured that out. And since it happened to me and they smashed the window in the truck and the cops started telling about us, well, people seeing all the plastic all over my window and everything else, I got over American Auto Body today. Jason's getting my truck all done. But what I'm finding out is for every car that's broken into, it's like 50 pickup trucks.
Right.
Because people in cars don't carry as cool as stuff. So if you're going to travel, you're going to be around, you know, you can't leave stuff in your truck anymore. They got it figured out.
Yep.
So, you know, I love to just cruise in back roads and go looking around, you know, places with my truck because I love driving my truck. I love that Toyota. I want an American-made truck. I bought a Toyota. It was made in Texas. I like that. But comfortable, like it. Doesn't get the best gas mileage, like 17, 18 miles a gallon, but it's okay. But, man, what a comfortable ride. You just feel safe. You're a little high. You can look around. But I got to tell you, I'm almost, if I go out to take another vacation, I'm going to rent like a minivan or something.
I was going to say rent a car.
Yeah, I'm going to rent like a minivan because I'm not going to look cool if I'm in my truck or if I'm in a minivan. So the whole cool factor's out the window anymore anyway. And so, you know, that way if I get somewhere and they smash the hell out of it, call up the rental car company, say, bring me another one. This one's screwed up.
Yep.
You know?
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking I'm going to have to because man, I love my truck, and I don't really want to go. One of the reasons I like it is because of road tripping. Man, you can't take your pickup truck out in the road. You got literally the number one best chance of getting somebody smashing your windows and going in to steal your stuff. That's just the way it is. So for all you pickup truck people out there, keep in mind, if you're going to do a road trip, go out of your normal area, give some thought to renting something, you know.
Nope.
All right. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams.
There's been some snook there at night and some juvenile tarpon, both off the pier and underneath the bridge itself. But once again, there's been some sporadic red tide, so it's been one day's good, next day's bad. I think it's just little patches moving in and out enough to not necessarily have a major fish kill, but enough to irritate them where they're either sounding and getting down deep underneath it, or they're just plain old boogieing out of the area. But they have been moving back and forth through there pretty consistently. So it's not bad. Water is a little chalky looking because of all the wind that's been there, but the fish are still feeding there. I just haven't heard of any other bottom activity off the pier.
All right, out in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's been too windy this week. I haven't gotten anything for reports. I'd imagine this weekend will be pretty awesome because the wind's supposed to, well, it's already starting to lay down. So nobody really fishing for the last 5-6 days. Those fish will be ate up.
Yeah, it's surprising how just a, you okay? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Those little gnats.
The gnat? You swallowed a gnat?
Uh-huh.
Man, I was around the other day, and I'm going through, one goes up my nose. I'm sneezing like crazy. It hurts. You know, it's like gives you this little burning sensation, and it's a little tiny gnat.
I watched him fly by and just went right in.
It's like, out of all the places in the world to fly, right there, right in front of my face as I'm breathing, it sucks right in, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Because, I mean, I got a nose like Bob Hope. I mean, everything gets in that sucker, you know. oh my gosh, it just shocks the heck out of me. It's a little tiny bug that you swallow, it hits the back of your throat and it leaves like a mark.
Yeah.
And then it gets in your nose. I mean, it burns. It's got a, you know, you're trying to blow it, get it out, digging in there with, you know, a drill.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Give yourself a little lobotomy trying to get them out of there.
Yeah, I mean, just about to that point. Exactly. Yeah. You'll twist up the, you know, paper towel routine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see, Venice Jetties.
Venice Jetties has had some snook, night and daytime, and then they've been getting a few Spanish mackerel moving in and out of there during the daytime. A lot of little tiny snapper. I haven't heard of any sizable snapper. They've all been pretty small, but the guys are bending rods at least and having a good time. A lot of people been finding shark's teeth there because of this wind just beating the snot out of that beach right there. So they're walking that beach on the north side and the south side jetty and finding a lot of little tiny shark's teeth. That's been kind of interesting with some of the kids coming in here getting excited because they see the big shark's tooth behind the counter and they're like, we found a bunch of those, but they weren't that big. But still fun. Always cool to see that 6 or 10 year old get excited about shark's teeth.
Absolutely. Stump pass?
Nothing.
Little Gasparilla?
Nothing.
Boca?
Boca, there's been some snapper on the bottom. Some of the bottom fishermen have actually been catching some snapper getting below that red tide. You know, it's been bad, so some of the guys have been not been able to stick it out. But a couple guys that did got some 14, 15 inch mangs out of it. That's the only good report I've gotten out of there, unfortunately. That was, oh geez, how am I doing today? He's in here all the time. Older gentleman, just in here yesterday. Oh well, doesn't matter. He's a snapper catching fool. He took his grandsons out there and they caught a few fish.
Okay. Got that. Alright, Captiva.
Captiva's had some mangrove snapper, some snook, and there was a couple tarpon rolling through there, but nobody was catching them. They were mostly focused on kind of the bottom fishing there.
All right. Guy was just telling me he was at on the west wall, right up near the mouth of Myakka, and tons of tarpon.
Really?
He said there was 1,000 tarpon eating on thread fins up there. He
wow.
said they were hooking them up, but all they had was their, you know, snook, redfish, rods, you know, and but they couldn't resist. They sabiki'd a couple of thread fins and just pitched them out, and you know, lots of jumps and everything, and then boom, they were gone, and more jumps, and boom, it was gone. But they had a ball catching, you know, playing with the tarpon up there.
There you go.
Alright, that's going to take us Redfish Pass?
Nothing.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
And, alright, walking the beaches, any place, just too much possible red tide?
Yeah, too much hodgepodge, I haven't heard anything good, just right up there in the Venice area.
Okay, Ponarasa, Sanibel?
The only thing I've heard about is Sanibel itself. They've been getting some tarpon there at night, and a couple of nice-sized snook during the day and at night. And then right there, the islands just north there of Ponarasa, they've been getting a handful of trout. Mostly small, but a handful of good-sized fish. That's, I'm trying to think that that other guy said he caught, but no. That's it.
It's taking us onto the Coosatchee River. I've had zero reports.
Zero reports.
And
the news has killed that.
You know, I thought I added Cape Coral to this. Ponarasa, Coosatchee River.
I think you did where you got Matt Lachey.
No, I didn't. It's not there. I don't know what the heck it is. But Pine Island Sound. I'm going to put Cape Coral in for next week right there. I'm going to do Coosatchee River. And I got to remember to stick that in there.
Oh, Cape Coral fishing report.
Yeah, just the Cape Coral, you know, from the canals and yeah, that area around there. So we got to throw that in. For some reason or another, I don't know why we haven't done it. So anyway, got anything from Matt Lachey?
Well, Matt Lachey's got a lot of redfish. Just the whole flats all around there have been a little, pretty good activity. Redfish, some snook, handful of trout. Underneath the Matt Lachey Bridge itself, or the guys standing on there, been catching a lot of small mangrove snapper and a handful of small snook. You know, it's one of the few areas that's been pretty consistent throughout this whole summer of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to call it. It's like you only want to believe about 25% of it, but...
But we've been saying this since 2016.
Yeah.
The weather got weird. In 2016, the Peace River went up to 14 feet in January.
Right.
Over 3 feet over flood stage in January. That month, we might get a quarter inch rain on a normal January.
Yeah.
And that year, I mean, we had like 2 feet of rain. I mean, it just makes no sense.
No.
And 17 was fairly strange. We had droughts and we had floods and, you know, another really strange weather year. And I think Terry called it best. Her and I were talking with the whole Mayan calendar. Remember when we had the end of the world sale back in 12/21/12?
Yeah.
We did on 12/21/12, we did an end of the world sale. You know, warranty's good till the for 1 year or till the end of the world, whichever comes first.
Right.
And we people had a lot of fun with that.
They had a whole lot of fun with that.
Because you know, the world was ending on that day, and I think we might have done it the day before because, you know, we might not be there the next day or so. I don't remember what it was. It was either
it
that.
It was still a good time.
It was a lot of fun, but if you're looking at the Mayan calendar and it basically how anybody thought a round calendar ends was always kind of a little trip for me because I gotta admit, you know, 12/21/12, it was kind of cool, you know, to think about all the stuff that, you know, yeah, okay. In the back of your head, you were a little worried. But the reality was, the calendar's round.
Yeah.
And when you get to the top of the wheel, what do? Continue around the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had a bad section in there. They have different times of bad effects. Catastrophic, you know, things. And if you would look at... If we didn't have electricity, diesel trucks, trains, the boats that we have, stuff like that, you know, a lot of these floods on the Mississippi, could literally wipe out whole civilizations.
Sure.
Some of the hurricanes could have wiped out whole tribes, you know. Yeah. And they're literally, you know,
they were accurate without the modern day technology. They were, some of it was pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally talking, you know, civilization ending events one after the other ever since the year 2000.
Yeah,
I mean, it's you know,
severe population reductions anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just wiped out massive amounts of people, but we have concrete diesel vehicles and that haul food and water everywhere and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of gives us a little edge. But they say they're not supposed to stop till 2020. It's right. Supposed to be real bad till 2020 or 2022. I don't remember. We got a couple more years of this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll see if it calms down. If it calms down, okay, you know, Mayans were right. We're cycling through some bad times, then we'll go through some good times again.
Mayans were more accurate than Nostradamus.
Well, no, the only thing Nostradamus, if you watch that old one from the 1970s, mm-hmm. you know, they got some of the stuff wrong, but they were talking about two things hitting in New York and all this and all that. And one from the 70s, I mean, when you look at it, it's pretty much right on.
Yeah, there's a couple things that are definitely spot on.
You know, and the thing that worries me is 30 years of war and then 1,000 years of peace.
Yeah, that's...
How do you get humans to have 1,000 years of peace? By wiping most of them out.
Right.
So, anyway, lots of cool stuff in the world. You know, I'm sorry, we like to ramble. All right, this is, you know, all right, Fish Pine Island.
Pine Island's been pretty good. There's been a handful of tarpon cruising right along the ICW there, with some Spanish mackerel and a few oddball sharks. Along the bushes and around Captiva Rocks, there's been some redfish, handful of snook, a few bigger trout, not numbers-wise, but if you're drifting, and especially using, you know, like a nice 3-inch pinfish, been picking up some fair-sized trout down there.
Okay. And let's see, that's going to take us down to Jug Creek Shoals.
I honestly haven't had anything at all there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because the wind's been just beating the snot out of it for the last
few
days.
It's kind of right in the teeth of that west-southwest wind.
Yeah.
You know, the top of Boquilla is there, but it pretty much limits you to just that little flats right there. Alright, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
That's been real good. There's actually been quite a few redfish along the bushes down there. Getting some reports of some pompano, handful of trout, both silver and spotted trout. And then right on the outside of the bar, guys have been running into an occasional small shark, an occasional bigger lemon shark, and there's been tarpon sporadic down there. Go there today and you see a bunch of them, then go back tomorrow and nothing, but the tarpon have been there steady enough to be prepared for them. You know, be ready with your tarpon rod or at least a bait buster to throw at them just in case they do show up. You know, so a lot of good mixed stuff. The wade fishermen have kind of slowed down there because the mosquitoes are so bad to wade through that marsh. And a couple guys have bumped some alligators down there wading, so they're done. One guy said he about stepped on a 6-footer walking through the little path. He said it pretty much freaked him right out. He was done. And I'm fighting mosquitoes, I can tolerate that maybe, but fighting those and then walking up on an alligator, that I'm done. I'll be back when it dries out a little more. I laughed at him. Like, I don't blame you. I would freak out too, and alligators don't really bother me too terribly much, but it would definitely make me jump and panic a little.
I can tell you, if I'm walking along and all of a sudden I about step on a 6-foot gator, that's going to make my heart pump just
absolutely
a bit, without a doubt.
No question.
Now, I'm sorry, you know, most of the time, you know, me, 6-foot gator, if I'm hungry, the gator's dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? It depends on my mood, whether or not that gator's going to live or die.
Right.
You know? But if you're walking along unexpected, 50-50, who's in charge?
He's in charge. I'm going to jump and panic and get out of the way. Then I'm going to reevaluate things and probably try to get a couple cool pictures. But
you know
I'm
what I'm saying, though?
If
you're on the hunt, gator's got little to no chance. That fool, he's toast. Yeah. But when you're just walking along going wade fishing, not thinking about it, and all of a sudden, boom, you're like, okay, that evens the odds up real good. Yeah. Then that's... You know, I might say that puts it in his favor.
Yeah.
But You know, it's kind of funny how that works out.
Yes, it is.
So, anyway, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor.
Pirate Harbor's got a lot of juvenile tarpon in it. Been a few black drum and a few redfish also in there. And on the outside there by Hobbs Point, from Hobbs Point around past the mansion up into that creek, they've been getting a few redfish also there. And a lot of little mangrove snapper. And I mean little, like 6 to 10 inchers. But fun if you want to keep some kids entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah, just bend the rod. Just make sure it's just fun.
I would, when I do that, I'm okay with the snapper fishing, but I really like to find a school of spade fish for that.
Oh,
ladyfish,
yeah.
Spade fish. Kids get all excited with those.
Absolutely.
Because they're so neat looking when you get them up to the boat, and they don't have all the teeth and stuff of a mangrove snapper, so
right.
I don't have to worry about the kids.
Right. Much easier to handle.
A lot easier to handle, and, you know. Really, if I'm doing the snappers and I get a couple little crappie rods, some, you know, 4 to 10 pound test rods, and they still enjoy that. But
yeah.
Much more fun in the spade fish, ladyfish, mackerel, stuff like that. Even the catfish, I think, are more fun than catching the
little snapper.
Little snapper. You get a decent sized catfish, that'll drag a kid around the boat.
Yes.
All right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, skating rink.
I've got nothing except for right there at the skating rink. There's been some redfish moving around on that of assorted sizes. Most of them are just at the top of the slot and under. Haven't heard of any oversized fish there, but there's been some good activity around it.
Okay, Ponce de Leon.
Some black drum and small mangrove snapper is all I've got. Yeah, it's not been super positive there.
Alright.
I think the heat and the no-see-ums are making people a little crazy.
What's up, Steve?
There's a gentleman out here.
Alright. Somebody needs to talk to me about lures. Alright, PGI canals.
A lot of juvenile tarpon. Been a few good-sized jacks. And a whole lot of black drum moving through there. There's been some big black drum and some small ones. Some guys have been catching some 18 to 24 inches, and then it goes to the extreme opposite to 30, 40 pounders. And they're seeing them lollygagging along the surface and also actually feeding along the oysters and right along the edges of the seawall. Guys have actually been catching a few of those on paddle tails, just casting in front of them and just slowly twitching it, not bouncing it too much, just kind of twitching it in front of them.
Now, what are they twitching?
Little paddle tails, little 3-inch paddle tails.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Alright, Gilcrest Pier?
Got nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just starting to catch on. People were doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden, back to nothing.
The guy had two different fish on yesterday, or day before yesterday. He was trying to figure them out. He never landed them. He was just getting long, hard runs, and nothing was breaking him off. He was just losing his pinfish. But he said some of the runs, one of the runs was like super, super fast, because at first I thought it might be gar.
That was my first thought.
That was my very first thought, but he said the one actually ran like a full 100 yards and never got the fish to stick, never saw a jump, just saw the original swirl when it took his pinfish, and that was it. So that was the part that confused me, because pulling that off with a pinfish, gar. That's my absolute first guess, but to make a 100 yard dash quick, that's the only part that confused me.
Yeah, because gar move off, but they're moderate fast fish.
Right.
They're not a screaming fish.
No, they're just usually a good slow and steady.
But I've had 4 to 5 foot gar that have peeled out, you know, 30, 40, 60 yards of line with no problem.
Right.
But, you know, and depending on his tackle, if he had like a 3,000, 4, 4.5 foot gar.
Yeah, he was using a 6,000 reel because he was
trying. A 6,000? No gar pulled on that.
He was trying for cobia or a small shark.
Yeah, even a 4 foot, 4 or 5 foot gar wouldn't peel on a 6,000.
No, not that far.
All right, Alligator Creek Reef.
Some Spanish mackerel have been there off and on, but that's the only thing I've heard of because it's been so choppy out there.
Okay, the deep holes in the harbor.
Guys have been trying to fish for tarpon out there, but it's been pretty sporty out there in the center of the harbor this week. Rob McHugh's been out there pretty regularly all week sitting out in those holes, so I'm sure there's still some tarp in there. If he's there, if he's going to put up with that wind, there's definitely some tarp in there.
Yeah. All right. Bait reports?
I've got nothing for bait. I've heard zero for white bait at all.
Okay. All right. Red tide reports. Let me find my thing here. And all right. We've got background to high concentration, Sarasota County. Low to high in Charlotte County. High concentrations offshore Lee County. Background to low in Collier County. So Collier County is pretty much safe. I mean, background to low, that's kind of a yellow, but kind of green yellow. But everybody else, solid red. You know, there's no fish kills in Sarasota County, Casperson Beach, Englewood Beach, Minnesota, Nokomis, Venice, all over. I mean, all the way down to Gasparilla, Lover's Key. They've got fish kills down in Collier County, but most of it on the go. Respiratory problems. I'll have all that up on the fishing report. We'll get all that going. So, anyway, I got to update the red tide maps. Freshwater fishing. Let's go through on that.
Bass are still doing good. You know, not great, but good. You know, the guys are fishing shiners down deep. You know, some of them are putting them on split shots. Some of them are trying to free line them, but it seems like the guys are putting them down closer to the bottom and picking up those 2 to 4 pound bass. Northport canals. A couple guys have been fishing down there. Why do I always forget the name of that? South Punta Gorda there. TGA. Tropical Gulf Acres.
Yeah.
Guys fishing down there, and then a handful of guys have been fishing in their golf course neighborhoods and doing pretty good. It's all been a shiner feed. A few guys have been buying some the spider jigs. Those the Strike King spider jigs. We've sold a few of those this week. And we've sold a few frogs this week. So guys are trying to myriad of things. Haven't heard of any crappie or really bluegill this week at all.
Huh. Alright. Tarpon report. Let me see if I can get tarpon map up. Go over the map here. Alright. And really, come on, god darn it. Let's see, 7/27/18. Okay, dated it. Now we're gonna pick the brushes. Get the size up, and I guess we'll start with red dots. I'm going to give red dots right at the mouth of my anchor where those guys were hitting those.
And up to the Eljo Bean Bridge.
Big red fins, yeah, and a lot of that. Where would you put some red dots?
Up by the Eljo Bean Bridge, because there's been those juveniles from the 20 to 60 pounders there.
Gotcha. You know what I should do? I should change the white dots from a chance and just do the yellow and red and do the white dots as small tarpon.
Oh, there you go.
Something like that.
It might work.
I'm not going to do it this week, but I'll get it. Try and get it for next week. Any other place for red dots?
No.
All right. Yellow dots, 50-50.
Up by the power lines in the navigator area.
Let's see. You were talking about some tarpon down by Sanibel?
Yeah, at the Skyway at night. A couple of guys have been hooking into a couple there.
Alright.
And then I would probably say the PGI canals, because those have been pretty steady fishing there.
Okay. Anything, I'd say in front of Two Pines, right?
Yeah.
And out through the holes in the harbor.
Definitely 50-50 there, especially if the wind laying down the next few days.
Yep. Let's see, anything along the west wall over there? By,
I haven't heard anything at all.
Out along the beaches, out deep?
Nope. Been too windy out there.
Yeah, that's true. How about around Captiva?
Right there along the ICW, a few fish.
Okay, well, let's get that done. So we can put that up. Anything I should mention about the tarpon fishing?
Bait busters, ladyfish, and pinfish are starting to pick up a little bit. Just before this wind started blowing, a couple guys were hooking them on pinners. So that's kind of a nice little change.
Yeah.
And there's no one color of bait buster. It's working better than the other. The guys are buying every color imaginable.
That's been what's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're always buying the same old, you know, tried and true, but they're grabbing different colors to see if they can find a pattern. And I guess they're not, because they're still buying a bunch of different colors. It's like several years ago, one guy stumbled on the pink, and the year before that, it was that dark purple one. You know, so...
Okay, bait busters and what else?
Ladyfish and pinfish. The drawback to the pinfish is you will find some sailcats also, but... If I hook a tarpon, I'll deal with a couple sailcats. I'm good with that. That don't scare me too much. That's what that Fishin' Frank's fish gripper's for. That thing is the most awesome thing around, except for them little tiny hard heads. They're not fun trying to grab them. They're like a little buzzsaw. I have a hard time grabbing those behind the house.
Yeah, that's why I use that one gripper, because the small ones are the ones that are going to get you.
All right.
Because they're quick and they're flipping around and those little tiny, and all of a sudden, zam.
Yep.
And where the bigger ones, I kind of got them under control more.
Yeah. I use those fish grippers, but I got to wait for them little guys to calm down, or they just accidentally hit the dock for a second.
Yeah.
And then that calms them down. Yeah. Then I can grab them.
Did you get calm yet?
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, that's it. Now, we want you to be emotionally safe. We want you to be...
I'll put you back in your safe place in a second. Just simmer
here's
down.
Your safe place. Thunk!
Yep. Exactly.
I wouldn't do that. No. Okay.
Really? Yeah, they're not fun sometimes. A couple of them have kept the hook. Like, okay, I'm over trying to grab you. She gets mad, and I'm like, I'll just retie. I'd rather retie than deal with this. Give me a second. Got an extra hook here somewhere. I think this weekend after this moon, tonight's the full moon, or tomorrow night's the full moon, the tarpon might really turn on after this.
Okay, insert picture from file. All right, 727. Then all I got to do is load that. Okay, and I believe that's it. That's the last thing we're doing there. So anything else you're thinking of?
Not really. We're supposed to be back into these afternoon thunderstorm patterns, so just watch the rain, and with this full moon, maybe contemplate going out in the afternoon rather than first thing in the morning, because if it's a really clear night with this full moon, the fish are going to be full first thing in the morning, especially with that pattern the way Carl's been talking lately. It seems like late morning, early afternoon, those fish really start to turn on.
Okay.
About the only thing I could advise, and stay hydrated.
So, drink lots of fluid, listen to your mommy. I mean, if you don't know what to drink a lot of, sorry guys, this button is really getting to be sketchy. Alright, if you don't know to drink enough fluids while you're out there in the water, that's called natural selection. So do what you think is best.
Exactly.
Drink water or don't. Alright, let's see. Can't think of anything for myself except, relax, enjoy some time. There is a lot of different and varied fishing. Maybe not where you're used to going, so you might have to move up or down a bit. You know, move around a bit. Once the wind lays down, man, I want to get in the Gulf of Mexico. There's a lot of fish out there. It's awesome. And I'm going to go to Okeechobee very soon just to show people that it's not poison, that it's still a wonderful place. I love Okeechobee. Right. So, all right, boys and girls, you have fun. Fish and Frank here, and Robert, we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is fishing.
You want to go out and find out what that guy wanted?
Because he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to fishing, Franks. You gotta go to fishing, Franks. The one who knows his fishing frame.
It's a little on the human side, yes.